ready to master the waves of medical device product development? Well, wax up your surfboard because you are listening to Inspired by Amua. And here is your medical device product development expert, that Hawaiian-hearted hostess who will help you hang 10, Megan Alonso.
And aloha, innovation warriors. It's Megan Alonso, and you're listening to episode 77 of MedTech Inspired, where I talk with medical device startups and industry experts that inspire every Tuesday. Pitching but not getting the investment that you want? Find out what you're missing in invention idea to profitable product. Grab a free trial over at amua-services.com/IIPP. Amua is spelled I-M-U-A, and it's a Hawaiian word. It means to advance forward with passion, despite rough waves. Again, that address is amua-services.com/IIPP. Now let's catch the wave of medtech innovation with today's featured guest, Chris Kelly. Chris, are you ready to hang 10?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Right on. I wish I was by the beach like you are.
It is pretty nice. I got to admit, we're spoiled out here.
So Chris is the president of Advantu, a company that helps you build products that your customers will love. With over 20 years in software quality experience, he knows how to find problems that others will miss, reducing your time to market. So Chris, go into a little bit more detail about this and tell us some fun facts about you too.
Thanks, Megan. Hey, well, initially I started out in software quality back in the late 90s, working everywhere from automotive systems to financial to banking to just about everything under the sun. And I was lucky enough to get into software quality for medical devices about 10 years ago, and recently working on infusion devices and things that will make sense to your audience. Fun fact, I used to run a lot of half marathons. Took some time off to launch this business with a new brand about 5 years ago, and now I'm getting back into the running. So it's kind of fun. It's a good town for it. Mm-hmm. And a tiny bit of history about 10 years ago, I was on a project up in Los Angeles, and it was a huge high-risk financial system that they were completely re-architecting the back end. And because I was a consulting software quality engineer lead on the project, I was brought in to hire the team and get everything ready for this huge project. And I was lucky that they brought in KPMG to take the lead on the risk. And I got to see firsthand how they do risk in the big leagues, is how I looked at it.
Yeah.
And in a nutshell, they showed us how to save a lot of time by identifying all the high-risk areas in this big system so that you could focus just on where all the critical defects are hidden, how to reveal all the blind spots, and more importantly, not waste time on areas that they determined. And they walked through and showed you how they determined areas that were low impact and low priority. So don't waste time on it. Focus only on what matters most, what's the highest impact and highest risk. And they to be able to watch this in action, and I learned a ton from it. It was probably one of the most eye-opening experiences of my life, especially since by that point, I thought I had seen just about everything you could see with software quality assurance. And they literally turned everything on a dime and really showed you what could be done if you did it right from the perspective of risk. Mm-hmm. And that's where I learned how to find things that a lot of others would miss.
Yeah.
So it was quite the education.
So what exactly are you an expert at? It sounds like to me that you've incorporated a lot of this risk model into your current company.
I would say I'm an expert at risk, meaning there, and I know that's, I'm kind of reusing my verbiage here, but it's being able to look at a system. And again, being able to walk through with the engineers as well as the marketing folks and you know, the potential end users, and walking through with them and revealing all the high risk areas, and then flip through all of that, you know, fillet the system, open it up and say, okay, now here's where all the critical defects are residing that would possibly come back to haunt you if you released it without going in and finding them. Because to save time, I've seen a lot of companies cut corners to try to, you know, accelerate the time to market. And so they'll skip some of the negative and ad hoc testing that would really make all the difference. And instead, they tend to follow happy path or just test the requirements. But mm-hmm. because anybody that has bought, named the product, and you use it not exactly the way it was designed to be used, that's when things start to fail and they break. So say, for example, a medical device that goes into a hospital, if it's an emergency situation, the nurse is going to use it in a slightly different way than maybe the designers had in mind, because they're trying to save a life. And then that pump or that device fails, and it wasn't tested for that scenario. So we show them how to test for abnormal behavior and unexpected usage. And that's when you reveal all the problems that are just hiding there.
Yeah.
And that's where I think we add that that advantage, that value add.
That's huge. And especially, you can do all the usability testing in the world, but until you get people that just try to destroy your devices, you know, sometimes you don't see those things. Hey, I forgot to ask you. So you're getting back into marathons. Are you training for one right now?
I'm trying to get my my running back to where there's a half marathon coming up in, I believe, in Orange County area out here in Southern California in February, March.
Okay.
Coming up 2018. So
yeah.
In about a 6 to 7 month time frame, most people can train adequately and survive a half marathon distance. So
yeah.
That's my goal.
Good. Well, let me know which one it is and we can cheer you on.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Later on, let us know.
I could use all the cheering I can get.
So you are definitely an expert at risk, especially in software quality. And it's always important to keep on top of the trends and stay abreast of what's happening. So what's something that you've done recently to increase your expertise in this area?
That's an excellent question. Somebody once told me that the best way to learn something is either to teach it or do it yourself. You're actually hands-on. And so I started attending networking events a couple of years ago in downtown San Diego to an organization called CyberTech. And it's essentially an incubator for folks building products in the cybersecurity world. And about a year ago, they started opening the doors to, okay, we're gonna take folks from like medical device, in other words, growing industries. And I was attending one of their events about a year ago, and they were talking about cybersecurity risk. And I raised my hand and said, okay, what about actual product risk? And I kind of gave an example of what I talked about with what I experienced up in Los Angeles. And the guy that runs it says, you know what? I like the way you put that. So we would like to invite you to become one of our mentors for these entrepreneurs and be our risk mentor. So I agreed to take that on. And one of the guys that was building this like a telehealth system to folks that, let's say, they live in outlying areas or they've got diabetes, different debilitating chronic issues, and they can't make it into the hospital all the time. He built this system where he's going out with as a nurse and visiting with these patients, and he was able to communicate through video there where it was all protected, and he could be at someone's home and doing a visit with a doctor somewhere in town, and it's all through this secure video connection. And so everything that patient would need help with a doctor's, really their presence right there in the room using this system, he was in the process of building it. And so we started mentoring him back about 7-8 months ago. And he's within about a quarter of getting it released. But with sitting with his entire team and walking through his entire system and explaining where we thought all the high risk areas were, and then having them fill in the blanks, that's where their eyes lit up. And it kind of really recertified in my brain what we're doing and how we do it, because every time you implement a risk reduction project, you learn something new. And I learned a lot more about how the telemedicine technology is working because of all the new Internet of Things and all the new technology that's out there. And it keeps getting improved over time, especially working with these younger folks that are really sharp and know what they want to do, and they find ways to make it work. So we kind of relearned how to implement risk with these faster moving projects by helping this guy. And it was it's a really eye-opening learning experience. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I would advise you, if you like doing things like that, UC Irvine has a program called the Cove, and they're always looking for experts in residence. And then that way you can give a talk there. And then if anyone has questions after the talk or whenever, you're in this database, and so they can ping you. And UC San Diego was starting a program like that when I left. We can look into that there to just keep giving back. And yeah, that's the best way to definitely keep your expertise fresh and challenged, because they're always going to ask you questions too.
Oh yeah.
So speaking of these younger companies that are asking questions, what's one thing that medtech entrepreneurs or startups don't know that they should know?
Oh, it's a great question. And this is something that we just went through starting April, May. We had a company on the East Coast that had been doing a lot of clinical work. They've been around for a good 10 years, and they were really good at what they did as far as doing clinical work for different types of solutions. I don't want to reveal them because we have a confidentiality agreement, but all of their time had been spent doing clinical work. And of course, it's all in accordance with the FDA. And then they started adding software basically medical device aspect to their business. And they had never worked with the FDA and software and understanding what it takes for independent verification, validation, and what all the steps are so that when you're creating software in the FDA world and you want to generate your FDA submittal, all the steps that it takes and really a whole new world of certification and regulations and following all their guidelines. And if you've never done it and you try to do it on your own, you're actually inviting a world of hurt, because the more that you put in, say you generate an FDA submittal and your team doesn't have experience with it, as soon as you generate it and then they read it, they immediately know these people don't know what they're doing in this regard. Now, if you're lucky and you have a good relationship with them, like our client is, FDA stepped in and said, we're going to help you because we also want you to come up with some more clinical solutions that we need. So it worked out in their favor. But you could see how the more that if they had continued down the path of trying to do it on their own improperly, the more of a headache it was becoming because they were doing it wrong and it just kept spiraling out of control, meaning I put in a submittal and I think I've answered all their questions. And all I did was generate 20 new questions. And every time they submitted it, it was more questions. So it was getting worse over time. So they found us and now we're helping turn it around and cleaning everything up so that they can finally have a solid submittal and not have any more of these surprises. So I would say if you're out there building a medical device and you want to go ahead and put it into the marketplace and you want to follow the right FDA regulatory path, I would recommend reaching out to someone like us, or if there's other companies in your area that have had, you know, heavy experience with this, they're going to save you a lot of grief, because literally you're going to find that all the effort that you went through to build that device, you created this idea, you put it into a product, that amount of effort is going to pale in comparison to trying to get the FDA submittal done. And so I would recommend finding a strong partner. I mean, we're happy to help, but make sure you have a partner to help you with all the quality engineering in parallel with all your software engineering, so that all of it can go out at the same time without all of the pushback and the headaches that you're creating for yourself with the FDA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I say the same thing about intellectual property law. It's one thing to watch a lot of videos and maybe submit a trademark or a copyright yourself. Even with that, it still can be tricky, but oh my gosh, the patents, and some people think they can try to do it on their own. And it just ends up taking more time and a lot more money to do it yourself and then have to go back and do it again.
So, and have someone clean it up for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely this is not a field where in the beginning, yes, do a lot of research and homework yourself, but later on, you definitely need to hire the experts.
Well, and especially if you're willing to put forth the effort to do the research, at least that way you know the right questions to ask when you get that patent attorney in front of you.
Yeah, and so you're not wasting your time and their time that you're spending, you know, $500, $600 an hour for.
But I agree, you have to have those experts, otherwise it's just a nightmare.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you help in this area, which is really needed.
Well, thanks. It's been a lot of fun. And like I said, every one of these projects that we work on, I learned so much more about the FDA side, because that was not my area of expertise. It was all software quality engineering in an FDA realm. Yeah. But we always had FDA experts on site that would help with all of the submittals and all the documentation. So being able to work with these folks that we brought in as our team members, our consultants, and then watching them work, I was like, wow, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. It was kind of fun working with really sharp people.
Yeah. So what's an example of someone that has used your advice? Tell us a story here.
I'll go back to the folks that we were mentoring. I'll give another example. I worked with a very large Fortune 100 company on a brand new project about 5 years ago. I was the software quality lead on it. And they were marrying these two systems. It was for a European product line, and they had a whole bunch of standalone infusion devices, pumps, that would either deliver, you know, either medicine, medication, or food to their patients. And this was like a, say it looks like a giant hanging device. You see in all the movies where there's someone laying in a hospital bed and there's this a docking station next to their bed and it has all the pumps on it and hoses everywhere and little lines going in connected to the patient and feeding them either drugs or food or whatever. And they had a slew of those that they were going to marry to this huge hospital system. And they had never done it before. And so I was just fortunate enough to catch them at the beginning of this project. And rather than go through the rigmarole of saying, hey, we want to try this whole new risk reduction process, I just went ahead and did it because it wasn't taking away from any FDA regulations. It was just adding another layer of risk reduction by going in and finding all the critical issues that normal testing wouldn't find. And so we were able to apply this to system integration testing as well as performance to make sure that the system, you know, the user experience was what they wanted. So they're not, you know, they're not waiting on a slow system because it's never been done before. We applied this process at the beginning of the project where we got everybody in a room, we walked through what we're going to do, and they just thought this is how you do it. And so we're able to walk through and say, here are all the high-risk areas of the system and the products and the hospital side, and then here are the negative scenario sessions that we have that will help you reveal all those hidden critical defects, not only for connecting different systems, but also for the devices themselves, the pumps, in ways that the nurse will most likely use it that you don't expect them to. And we walked through this entire process over a couple of days, and then we were able to map out all the areas in the system that had high risk, high probability of bad things happening, and set aside the ones that were low impact that you could just do standard requirements testing, and that would be fine. And then we could go in and do the high-end negative testing, and we revealed a lot of problems that they weren't expecting. So we were able to fix a lot of things that it's pretty clear to me they would have slipped right into production, into the hospital environment. And that was released almost 3 years ago, and it is still running to this day on 6 different sites in Europe, not one problem.
Wow.
And meanwhile, the US side, they're still having problems.
because you didn't work on their system.
Right. And so that's one of my, even though it's under a confidentiality agreement, I'm still able to point to it and say, I know that this is the way to do it. And we just proved it on this year and a half project. And the folks that I know in marketing are still willing to be my reference quietly.
Yeah.
Because they are happy we did it because it worked. So that was our biggest success to date.
So we've got someone as an example of a success story, someone that did use your advice. What about someone, can you think of a company maybe that has been in the news or that you've seen get in trouble that you didn't work with them and they should have?
Yes. And obviously I can't name them, but here's what I can say without getting myself in trouble.
Okay.
Is the FDA site. You can just look, go to the FDA.gov and then it'll say, okay, recalls.
Yeah.
And they show all the companies that have recalls and it's updated every week. So you'll see month after month after month. Like if you go right now, you'll see through, you know, September, probably last Friday, 2017. And then you can go back year after year after year and you'll see companies that are on there repeatedly.
Ooh.
that we're in the process of reaching out to.
Naughty list.
Yeah, it literally is. And it's like, you know, we could help you avoid that. But the problem is because what we do appears to be so different than what they've always done, they don't trust it. You know what I mean? It's like, well, that's not how we've done it.
So you're going to just keep doing 30 years. The same thing that's gotten you in trouble all these times. Because that makes sense.
Yeah, it's the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
And so I would say, you know, and we're in the process of reaching out to these folks and showing them that, you know, here's something that you can do that will actually help in, you know, reduce your time to market because you're not having all that costly rework where you've probably heard that old saying, if it costs a dollar to fix a problem on paper, you know, you're designing an application or a system and it costs on that same project, if you catch a problem right near release, it's about $100 to fix it. And then if you find the problem after it's been released, it's about $1,000.
Yeah.
Because everybody and their uncle now has to dive in to fix it. And then all of that FDA regulated process paperwork and all the checks and balances that went into place to release it in the first place, you now have to redo all that. And it just adds months and months and months of time. Whereas if they had been able to catch it way early in the process, they'd lose weeks as opposed to half a year, 9 months, 12 months. And what we're, the process that we use is literally based on something that was created back in the 50s to fix problems in military equipment. And it's called FMEA, Failure Mode Effects Analysis. And that's as old as time. And the project that I was able to work on, where KPMG showed us how they, you know, approached risk, was based on that. They just, they utilized that and upgraded it to software and enterprise systems. And it works the same on medical devices as it does creating a cell phone. You know, it's all the same.
Yeah. And yeah, it's so the same process. You're just applying it several different ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So we didn't invent it. It's nothing new. We're just implementing it. It's purely logic.
Yeah. And another thing that I see companies do that they skip that's also really important is just that market research and then really talking to the users. And sometimes they think, oh, well, I think this is a great idea. I think this will really work. I like it. I use it, and assume everybody else will too. And it's not a proven method. You know, you're not scientifically breaking that down. And same thing with failure modes. You need to look at it objectively, and that's what you guys do too.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun because I equate it to, I was talking to one of the engineers when I was on that project a long time ago in LA, and it was just like a huge epiphany. The light just went on when I watched these folks mapping everything out. We're in this war room. It was just floor to ceiling whiteboards. And these folks just mapped everything out and they walked you through the whole process. And it was just like, wow, it makes so much sense, right? And one of the guys I worked with, he said, it's like going to Las Vegas and watching like Penn and Teller or David Copperfield, and you're just in awe of the magic. And everybody's around you is going, how do they do that? And he said, now watch that show. He said, and then the next day, watch it from behind the stage so you can see how they do it. And then you have that aha moment. Oh, that's how they did that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it felt watching these folks explain this risk reduction process, because it just opens everything up and you're just peeling away the layers of the onion, and then it all makes sense. Like, well, no, why wouldn't you do it that way? Because now there's no mystery. You know where to look. You know where to find all those critical defects, and you know how to expose them, and then you can mitigate it. And it was just such a no-brainer. But had I not been on that project, I don't think I would have ever learned this, because I got to see it.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Amen. Yeah.
So we've been hearing all kinds of ways that we can save time and we can save money and not get some headaches too. So we're going to find out Chris's best advice after our sponsor break. So stay tuned. What do Oprah, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, and hopefully you have in common? They all read or listen to over 30 books per year. I've got a way you can get there too. I listen to audible.com audiobooks, walking my dog Abby in the car, getting ready in the morning. And I've got a free 30-day trial for Audible that you can claim over at amua-services.com/free book. Right now, I highly encourage you to check out The Lean Startup by Eric Ries. Are you tired of going to pitch competitions and not getting the investors' attention? Build your pitch the right way with a solid foundation. Invention Idea to Profitable Product walks you through building a startup around your idea to make you attractive to investors and gives you the perfect pitch in just 100 days. Try it out free at amua-services.com/IIPP. Okay, Chris, so we're going to wrap this up with some of your best advice. What is the best advice you can give medtech entrepreneurs and startups?
Gosh, I would say, and part of it is what you just talked about before the break, where if you're designing a product with the end user in mind, when we were doing this risk reduction process at that medical device manufacturer, we had everybody in the room and we're walking them through how to identify all the high risk areas and what could go wrong. And the biggest contributor, the largest amount of suggestions on, you know, this could happen. You know, if you do this, what will that cause? The best feedback came from marketing, clinical, the folks that actually dealt with the customers every day. They knew how that device was really going to be used in the hospital. So they gave us the best scenarios of what if this happened, that would cause that. And that's how you were able to expose all the risk and then find the problem. So I would recommend that if you're building a medical device, go talk to the people that are going to use it and build what they want, solve their problems. And you're going to be a blockbusting, huge Fortune 100 selling company in no time. If you solve the problems that people really have, then they'll pay whatever it takes to get that problem solved.
Ooh, I like it. Talk to them, solve their problems. Boom.
Who knew?
So what's your best book recommendation and why?
As an entrepreneur myself, one of these books was recommended to me about 9 months ago, 6 months ago, before I went to a networking event. It's called The Founder's Dilemma.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one, too.
And I liked it because it was anticipating and avoiding the pitfalls that can sink a startup. And it's kind of like identifying risk in advance by Noam Wasserman. Uh-huh. And I really got a lot out of that book. Because it just opens your eyes to thinking down the road, planning ahead. What is it that I'm not thinking about that could bite me, 6 months from now? And what am I not planning for? What am I not preparing for? And that one really got me thinking, not only for my business, but also for helping my clients. Mm-hmm. So that was my favorite one.
Yeah, that one's really good. And that's what... It's impossible to go into something and know everything that's going to go wrong. So you, it's great to read books like that open your eyes. And then, of course, talking with companies like yours that are here to guide us through the process. And then talking with other startups they've been through it too. And they're just, even if they're one step ahead of you, 10, 20, or they've been there, they've done that several times. You can always learn from others.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you have... a bonus for our listeners. You have this checklist that guides them through the FDA process. So tell us more about that.
Absolutely. And thanks for bringing that up. As I mentioned, we had a client that found us about April, period, because they were going through this ever worsening FDA submittal process. And we had an initial FDA checklist, and working with these folks, it kind of opened our eyes to how much more people don't know if they've just never dealt with building software in the FDA world. So we took a lot of information from the FDA site, because it's there, but it's just kind of spread. And we compiled it into this FDA checklist. It's 5 steps. So it's basically something I would hand to somebody and say, if you're going to go build a product, here are the 5 things you're absolutely going to want to know as you get started building the device from the FDA submittal point of view. Like, what are they going to need from me? What do they want from me? What should I have ready and in place? Plus, it helps you build a better product because it just makes you think about what you're using it for and who the customers are and the risks involved and how it's going to be used, especially for patient safety. So we're happy to send that out and give everybody a leg up as they move down the road. Because I would love to see these guys that are out, guys and gals, that are building products, these really smart entrepreneurs, I don't want to see them held back because of an FDA submittal issue and slow down their ability to bring something to market that everybody needs.
Yeah. And you just launched a podcast. So tell us about your podcast.
Yes, it's our interviews with technology leaders. And right now we have, I think, a total of 4 interviews. And after working with you, because I reached out and found you a while ago, we're now putting in even more and more leaders, folks that are, say, in charge of regulatory at large medical device companies, and also technology leaders. So as we ask them questions that say it's something that a medical device entrepreneur or someone's inventing a technology, things that they would want to know, what are some of the pitfalls or challenges or obstacles that might pop up? What can I prepare for? So we're scheduling more and more podcasts to interview folks to get those questions answered so that when you want to go build that product and you want to release it, now you know you've got your ducks in a row and there are fewer surprises for you. So this series, I think, is going to be very helpful to folks that want to bring stuff to market that we all want.
Yeah, and that's just what we were talking about earlier. You want to talk with people that have been there, done that, or that are in the business of helping you. And you do that through your podcast. So that's awesome. So tell us the easiest way to get in touch with you and get the guide, listen to your podcast, and your favorite quote.
Sure. The easiest way to get a hold of me is our website. which is advantu.com. So it's A as in Apple, D as in dog, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, U as in uniform, advantu.com. And you can reach me on the site there. You can, there's a connection right there where you can send me a direct email, or you can email me directly at kkelly, which is K-K-E-L-L-Y at advantu.com. And that definitely goes right to me. And my favorite quote, I wish I could remember who said it, but
I have a lot like that too.
It always strikes me because every time I've worked on a project, you have to realize it's a collaborative effort.
Yep.
My company would be nowhere near where it is now without the team that, all, you know, there's almost 20 of us now that are building this company, plus the clients. And the quote was, none of us is as smart as all of us.
Ooh, I love that one. That's a good one. None of us is as smart as all of us. And today you've been getting some smarts from Chris and Megan and Hanging 10 too. So I know you got a ton of value listening to this, listening to Chris. So go check out other resources at amua-services.com. And while you're on the computer, head on over to advantu.com and grab that guide, listen to Chris's podcast. And until the next episode, Amua.
Mahalo for joining us. If you're new to riding the waves of medical device product development, or if you've been in development for a while already, Inspired by Amua is here to surf with you. Want to be a master of the waves? Text HANG10, that's H-A-N-G-T-E-N, to 44222. We'll send you the most common wipeouts companies make in product development so you can avoid them and reach master wave status. Again, that's HANG10 to 44222. We publish a new episode every Tuesday, so catch us at inspiredbyamua.com. Amua!